To follow through, give me hands to touch the hurting and the faith to follow you. Give me grace to be a servant, give me mercy for the lost. Give me passion for your glory. Give me passion for the cross. And I will go where there are no easy roads. Leave the comforts that I know. I will go and let this journey. Go of my ambition, cut the roots that run too deep. I will learn to give away what I cannot really keep, what I cannot really keep.
My parents, my mom and my father, were Bulgarians, and they tried to encourage us to learn the Bulgarian language. But we lived in Russia, we went to Russian school, we went to church in Russia, we had friends in Russian, talking or communicating in Russian, so we were not that motivated to learn any other language. But my mom was very concerned of us keeping the native language. And when she got frustrated of encouraging us in many other different ways, now she tricked us and she said, you know what? There'll be troubled times and people will be separated according to their nationalities. And if you don't speak this language, we will be separated. That terrified me. Being separated from my parents terrified me. So at least for the next few weeks, I made an effort to speak Bulgarian language. I tried to learn it. I remember a month ago or so, a young mother here at the church, Crystal, if you don't mind mentioning your name, lost her 5-year-old boy. He just decided that he can go to the car and wait for the mother at the car. And you should have seen Crystal. She was devastated, panicked, with tears in her eyes and brokenhearted. She lost her child. Have you ever been lost or separated from your family? Or as a parent, have you ever experienced losing or being separated with your child? I know many of you traveled a lot, and maybe you had an opportunity to visit one of the Holocaust Memorial Museums in Europe or Berlin in Germany. There are a number of them here in the United States, in different cities like Washington, D.C., New York, Boston, Chicago, and one in L.A. I know for sure that our Mesa Grande Academy students went to that museum as a class trip. I know our seniors here from this church went to that museum. And I wonder if you ever stopped long enough to read the letters where in one of the sections that were displayed under the glass cover, the letters of the inmates from the concentration camps. There were sad letters. And this is one of them, a typical letter. Dear Papa, tomorrow they are going to shoot Mommy and me. I'm trying to be brave, but I am afraid. I've heard people say that to save bullets, they shoot mothers and let their bodies fall on children. I don't want that, Papa. Mother says we'll be okay, but I think she's afraid too. I wish you were here with us, Papa. I need you. I love you. When you get this letter, please remember me. Can you imagine the anguish of being separated from your father? Especially when you need him most. I recognize that not all of us have or had loving fathers. But those of us who did, or who do, can you imagine being separated from your father when you need him most? Can you imagine what it would be like when your father is there for you, but he cannot do anything to help you? And how much pain he would have in his heart because of that. Elie Wiesel, the founder of the Holocaust Memorial Museums, and also the writer of many books, including the book Night, that I know again for sure that our girls as students of Mesa Grande Academy read as a part of the curriculum, experienced that in concentration camp as a child. After being separated from his family, his mother and sister died in Auschwitz. His father and him were transferred to Buchenwald. It was a daily routine to call for all the inmates, all the prisoners to line up. And the numbers were called out. And one day, the number was called out that Ellie had. They removed his shirt. They laid him over the wooden crate. And the whip was brought out. And they beat him nearly unconscious. Nearly killed him. And his father stood right there in the line. And he couldn't do anything to help him. And that nearly killed his father as well. We joke about bad things sometimes that we do. We trivialize sin. But do we really understand what sin does to us? Sin separates us from our Heavenly Father and makes Him unable and helpless to redeem us. It leaves us isolated and alone to face our life nightmares on our own. Isaiah 59:1-2 says, "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." According to Scripture, even before we were born, before the creation, God the Father and God the Son got together and made the decision, in case we had fallen, that they will save us no matter what, at all cost. And Jesus was willing to sacrifice his life for us. Ephesians 1:4, Paul says, "For he chose us in him," in Jesus, "before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight." I hope you don't feel unwanted today, because that's what it says here. God chose you. God the Father chose us in Jesus. Jesus says in John 10:17-18, "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord." The Father sent Jesus to redeem us. And the Father loved the Son because Son loves us. And he was willing to give his life for us. The noble goal was to save us from our sins and reunite us with God, thus solving the problem of the separation. Sometimes we misunderstand. We miss the whole point of the experience. If the goal was to save us from our sins, if the goal was to close the gap of separation between us, the fallen humanity, and God, then what would be the risk for God? What would be the risk to Jesus? If Jesus was going to take upon himself all the sins of the world, it would be the very nature of what he was taking on to separate him from God the Father. And there is eternal separation, because that's what sin does. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, Paul says, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." We acknowledge the fact that Jesus became one of us. And we put a positive meaning in it. But just think of it. What if he stayed forever like us, sinful people? It is amazing even to think that Jesus, who knew no sin, who had no sin, who would not sin, was willing to take our sins upon himself, knowing what sin does. Sin separates. Sin isolates. By taking our sins and bearing them on the cross, Jesus became, as Martin Luther put it, the greatest sinner of all. You and I are sinners. We recognize that. And we know other sinners out there. People who do things that you can't even comprehend they can do such things. But Jesus, an ultimate sinner, he loved us so much, bearing the sins of all of us collectively to become willingly the greatest sinner of all is beyond our comprehension. He risked becoming one of us and remaining one of us forever. It was the greatest risk, but it was also the greatest act of love ever recorded in the history of the universe. How can we not appreciate his act of love? We find Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew 26:42, praying three times, "My Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet, not as I will, but as you will." A prayer from the Son to his Heavenly Father in anticipation of the cross to come and what was ahead. If it is possible, yet your will be done. He prayed for any other way to keep us separated from God. If it's possible, because although we might not understand, he was able to fully understand what he was doing and to fully understand the meaning of the eternal separation. But he completely submitted to the will of his Father, because before we were born, he made this decision. He made this commitment that he will do it. And he did. But what was this cup of suffering that he was praying about? Many others had been crucified those days. Crucifixion was not the main cause of suffering to Jesus. The crown of thorns was forced into his scalp. He had been spat upon, whipped, humiliated on the cross, exposed naked and helpless before the very world he created. Seeing most of those he had come to save, rejecting him. Even the closest friends, his disciples, deserting him. This was certainly a part of a great suffering. But the cup of suffering that Jesus prayed about in the Garden of Gethsemane is being left alone. Death on the cross without his Father. Matthew 27:46, he's praying, my God, why have you forsaken me?" We cannot even comprehend how being forever with his Heavenly Father in heaven, Jesus for the first time was separated from his Father and abandoned by his Father. He took the risk and experienced it all for you and me, so we would never be separated from him and never be left alone again. Life is too much to experience without our Heavenly Father. But we don't have to be alone. And Paul assures us in Romans 8:38-39, he says, "For I am convinced that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And our assurance is in his suffering. Our assurance is in his resurrection, in his promise of eternal life, in his promise to return and take us home, in his promise never leave you nor forsake you. Remember his last words to his disciples in his commission, Matthew 28:20, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of age." David in Psalm 16:8 says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Communion reminds us what he has done for us. It reminds us that he did everything alone. So every one of us today would not have to be alone, abandoned by our Heavenly Father. Communion encourages us to never separate from him or one another. In the ordinance of humility, we have an opportunity to show our love for one another and to follow Christ's example and make an effort to close the gap of separation. The rooms are prepared for us. The overflow room right here is for families. The young adults class is for